under your name on credit check, there is something. Maybe it will be, without getting into details, proper to tell us as to how far are you with that. I hope you were informed. Because that's what I said. I said you must be informed so that you know when you come here, there are those questions. Tell us about that. But also, if there are some interest within the sector, then discuss. Just be open with us on those issues. You will share with members 6 minutes. So your responses must be very direct, so that you say everything. You market yourself within those few minutes. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon to all the members of the Portfolio Committee, including yourself. Chairperson, my name is Phosama Shangwane. Let me start first with the credit rating. I need to inform the committee that I have been out of employment since 2014. So my last job was on the 30th of June 2014 at the regulator ICASA. So since then I have been unemployed, and as a family man, a father, there's a need for me to make sure that I fend for the family. And then, so if you are not employed, there will always be some shortfalls in the debt that you have. So hence, there was credit rating that the chair is talking about. So that will be sorted out as soon as I get back to employment, because I have not been a person that defaults in terms of debt. So if that can be checked beyond 2014, the chair and the honorable members will see that I have been on a very positive credit rating. So that was not intentional. It was just because of the situation I find myself in. But it will be sorted out. In terms of qualifications, honorable chair and members, I've got a BA degree from UNISA. I've got a BA honors from Rand Africans University, which used to be called Rand Africans University, now UJ. I've got a Master of Arts in Communication from the same university, Rand Africans University. I've got the postgraduate certificate in management from Buckinghamshire Children's University College from the UK. I've got the postgraduate diploma in management from the same university. I also have the MBA from the same university. And so I was a manager for a long time, and then I felt that I must also capacitate myself. And then so I undertook a executive management program with GIBS, and then I got that. And I am a person who's passionate about gender equality. And so I was trained by the University College London in gender policy and planning. So that's the qualification that I do have, which you have attached to my CV. And then in terms of further training, I've been trained in financial management, human resources, project management, strategic planning, talent management, knowledge management, change management. So you'll hear that I'm talking more about the management. Why? Because I've been in management for a very, very long time. And currently, Chair, I'm a PhD candidate with the University of Witwatersrand. And my dissertation is about digital transformation for social development. So why I'm doing digital transformation is because I've been in the ICT sector for a long time. Hence, I want to make sure that my final degree should be in relation to the sector. So I have been a civil servant for the past 35 years. And I have served collectively in the supervisory management level, in the management level, in the senior management level, and also in the executive management level. So 6 of those years I have been in community development in my home province of Limpopo. And then so 13 years out of that I've been at the public broadcaster, the SABC, as a television producer. And then 9 of those years I've been at the Commission for Gender Equality, advocating for gender equality.
Okay. At least they are reflected in your CV.
Okay. And then, so, I need to inform the committee that I have been an executive manager at ICASA, and my role was the general manager who was responsible for consumer protection. So I've been in that position for a period of 7 years until the end of my fixed-term contract in 2014. And so my role there was to lead a team of managers and staff to make sure that we make the regulations for consumer protection.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Members, that's Mr. Mashangwane. Who wants to start? Everybody's sneezing, yeah? Honorable Kalako, you want to start?
Chair, mine is on just your understanding of, I'm sure since you were there, of ICASA Act. What are other related legislation? What is the other related legislation which assist ICASA when it makes and makes regulations around the sector as a whole? Just mention them. On the just recent.
It looks like your mic is not on.
Oh.
Can you start?
Don't switch it off.
Yeah, don't switch it off.
Leave it on.
Switch it on. That's it.
Honorable member, the ICASA gets its mandate from the Electronic Communications Act. It also gets its mandate from the Broadcasting Act of 1996. It also gets its mandate from the ICASA Act as amended. And it also gets the mandate from the Postal Services Act because it is also a regulator for postal services.
Because now you have applied to be a councillor, no longer now just an official there. What is your understanding of the role of ICASA and how their roles are in relation to other state institutions? We have boards all over and some councils. How is there, is ICASA having the same role, same powers as all other boards and council, or is it different in its status compared to them?
ICASA is an independent regulator, so slightly different from other regulators because it is independent. And so as a councillor, we need to make sure that we regulate telecoms, broadcasting, postal services, in the public interest. And so councillors should make sure that the authority, referring to ICASA, does its work in an objective manner, transparent, must be accountable, specifically to Parliament, to the legislature, yourselves, and it must also act without prejudice to all the key stakeholders in the sector.
Okay. Well, just one last question. On the present, I'm sure you are aware there is a problem between the Minister of Postal and Telecoms, the department, the ministry, with ICASA around the allocation of spectrum. What do you think is the best way of allocating spectrum in South Africa? Will fit South Africa well?
Honourable member, spectrum is a scarce resource that belongs to all South Africans, all the 56 million South Africans. So ICASA has been given the mandate to manage and administer the spectrum on behalf of the state, on behalf of the people of South Africa. And then the allocation of spectrum must be done in a manner that it is not disadvantaging the consumers or the South African public, because that is the something that the consumers or the public do have that can put on the table to enter into a deal with the operators. And then so they will not necessarily do that themselves, but ICASA will do that on their behalf in terms of making the regulations that are pro-competitive, the regulations that are pro-consumers, because at the end of the day, we must make sure that consumer rights and interests are protected. So the issue of the allocation of spectrum between the two ministries, I'm of the view that there need to be a meeting of minds between ICASA and the two ministries, so that they can clarify the rules and functions, because ICASA is caught between the two ministries. So it is accounting to the Minister of Communication, and at the same time it is dealing with telecom matters, which is the responsibility of DTPS. So okay, there's a need for them to sit down and then come with a memorandum of understanding, so that whenever ICASA go and do its discharge its mandate, it must not infringe into the expectations of the ministry.
All right. Do you think there is no memorandum of understanding between the two?
I don't know, Chair, because if there was such, then this tension and conflict that is taking place would not be there, because
right,
it will address that.
All right. Before I go to Honourable Machopa, you worked with Mr. Paris Mashila.
Yes.
Is that the reason why he is your reference?
Yes, I have. He was my chairperson.
Before you, because so that you respond to all, as well as Minister Mzwalede and Mr. Jackson Tim, inform us, because they are your references.
Chairperson, in terms of Mr. Paris Mashile, he was my chairperson when I was the general manager for consumer protection. And Minister Mzwalede, I've interacted with him during my study, because if you see my study, it is about social development. I'm going to focus more on e-health services. And so he is the person that can give me more information about that. And I've engaged with him, and then I got the sense that that's where I'll get more information when I go and do my actual interview with him. In terms of Mr. Jackson Mthembu, I've interacted with him particularly in the area of communication. And as you see, my qualifications are more on communication. And I also interacted with him in terms of social development. And then so my study is about social development. And then so hence I've cited them as my reference, because I got the sense that they understand where I stand in terms of these issues of digital transformation and also social development, focusing on e-health services, which is usually in relation to Minister Mutale's portfolio.
Honourable Mashaba, you are getting sick. Yeah, this I don't know what's going on with this room. Honourable Ndlozi.
So did you tell the chief of the ANC that he's your reference? Because you have put his cell number here.
No, I did not tell him.
So why did you put him here?
No, I put him because he's the one that I...
So he doesn't know, if I call him, do you know what's the purpose of a reference section?
Yes.
Please explain.
The reference section is to check whether this person knows about the matter on the table.
It's to attest about your career that you have set out in the CV, some of the aspects. So, for an example, you say you have put on the Minister of Health with an NEC member of the ANC because you are going to be interviewing him about your work. Am I correct?
No, I have engaged with them.
Does he know he's your reference?
Yes, Mr. Mutari knows about it.
He knows that you have put his cell number here. And then Jackson Mutembu?
I did not have time.
So why did you put his number and him as a reference? Are you trying to score points with us with his big name?
No, I'm not trying to score points because I have engaged with these honorable members, and then so they know where are my strong points in terms of this area of work that I'm doing.
So,
I have engaged with them.
So the Honorable Chief Whip supports your candidacy for ICASA?
I guess he will support it if he can be asked.
Nice. How revealing. So at which years were you in the member of the executive of management of ICASA?
From 2007 up to 2014 on the 30th of June.
So why do you want to go back to ICASA? I mean, you were an executive member. There isn't much difference that happened in relation to improving transformation, competition, ownership. Why do you want to go back? What is the special thing that you're going to be doing as a council that you couldn't do when you were an executive member?
Well, the special thing that I will make an input in is to bring the cost down of communication.
How?
And number one is about the control of retail prices. Right now, the retail prices are not controlled. And then Section 82D, Roman letter 3 of the ECA, provide that there need to be a control of retail prices.
Why didn't you do that when you were in the Executive Management Committee of ICASA? I mean, you had an opportunity to do that. Because you're not saying something new. You're saying something that is in the regulations. So why didn't you do it when you were there?
No, it's not in the regulation. We don't,
okay.
we don't have such regulation. This is something that I will propose to council if I am in council. So it is not...
Yeah, but
not
why didn't you when you were there?
Well, when you were there, there were focus areas that one was doing. And you also recommend to council, and then so you can't take a decision. So it's council that have to take the decision about the recommendation that if the staff is...
Okay, which years were you in the SABC as an editor of the news in Pretoria?
Acting
regional editor, TV News Pretoria.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Which year?
So it was in the... 1984, 86, and then so I was acting only when the incumbent was on leave. So it was not my position. My position was something different from.
So this was the SABC of apartheid.
That was old SABC.
You didn't see a problem with working with that SABC.
Well. There was a problem, there was a challenge.
What was the problem with that SABC?
Well, the problem was that there were certain jobs that would be done by Africans and certain jobs that would be done by whites.
What is the difference between the SABC we have now and the SABC of apartheid?
The
SABC in which you were the regional editor of news.
The SABC of the past it was different from the current SABC before, because the current SABC is not having the proper leadership that need to make sure that it leads the organization to fulfill its potential. So it is more and having a lot of corruption that we read about. And then, so in the past, there could have been corruption, but it was not rife like now, because we used to account every cent that was allocated to us when we were doing.
So in a way, it was much better ran. It was a better SABC than the SABC we have now, in a way.
There were proper controls in place by then as compared to now.
Last one, you served as Vice Chairperson of Sports and Recreation of SABC Pretoria staff. Was it in the same years?
Yes, it was the same years.
You were having a great time, Uswena, in the 1980s.
Why a great time?
I don't know. People who are of real conviction were either on the streets being chased by the police or behind bars or in exile. Particularly people of your age. They were not being leaders of recreation of staff in Pretoria. They were not taking positions in what is essentially an immoral SABC in the 80s that justified, legitimized apartheid propaganda. What's your reaction to that?
It was not like that, because we were doing our work out there with the people. My work has been with the people out there, and I've been interacting with the people, get what they feel and get what they want, and then so what they want, we will go and put it on air in television. So we were close to the people. We were taking television to the people. So
television was with the people in the 80s.
Well, we were taking television to the people because of...
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm very impressed of this candidate. I don't want to waste.
Thank you very much, Honorable Close, Honorable Matisha.
Tobe. The Tumashang one. Let me start where you started, sir. You indicated that given the fact that you are no longer working, you are applying for this position. Is that the reason? I just want to start there.
Honorable Madisha, I am applying for this position because I want to make a contribution to our people in terms of knowledge and experience that I've acquired in the workplace and also in the studies that I did, because I did my studies relevant to ICT and also communication.
Okay, I started there because that's where you started. Said, I'm no longer working, and therefore I need to do something. And therefore, the second point that I wanted to raise is that having worked, as you put it, in ICASA, and before, you obviously, I wish to believe that you know that SABC is faced with, like I said before, very serious, momentous challenges, okay? And earlier on I said it was actually imploding, all right? Now, what is it that you believe you can do? Using ICASA, as ICASA yourself, if I were to say, put it in that way, because you will be in that milieu. What is it that you can do to make sure that SABC, for example, which belongs to the people of South Africa, something is done?
Thank you, Honorable Magisa. SABC is ICASA's licensee, and every licensee have to subscribe to the license terms and conditions. And those terms and conditions are the ones that will make sure that the SABC have to do what is good for all South Africans. And those license terms and conditions need to be enforced by ICASA so that at the end of the day, whatever wrongs or whatever problems that the SABC is doing, which is not in line with its license terms and conditions, should be done. So the enforcement is one of the key areas which the regulator must do, because if the regulator doesn't enforce its regulations, doesn't enforce its license terms and conditions, then we will always have a problem like the one that we are having.
Last questions, and I shan't come back thereafter. The first one is, you know, in South Africa, there are people who occupy big positions, and they are dishonest. They take whatever they can from the people of our country. You talk about stealing. You talk about integrity, you know. I gave an example earlier on that William Marisha can even use a plastic bag, you know. I'm just giving that as an example. So are you honest, sir? So if I can just have that, that is one a question. But the last one, the merit to that, is that if you were to be appointed, how will you then ensure that the issue of telecommunications, the issue of broadcasting, of postal industries in the country are developed properly, because we have problems there, and ICASA plays a major role in ensuring that that actually happens? Those are my two last questions, my chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you. In terms of honesty, my record attests to that. I am an honest person. I am a person who doesn't believe in things that don't belong to myself. And my record can also attest to that if it can be checked with the organizations where I work, the Gender Commission, the SABC, and also ICASA. So my department, or division rather, used to account to all the things that we have been having. And I think even if it can be checked in the parliamentary records, it will be heard that the department that I have been heading performed so well, because you can only perform well if you are honest. And so that is when we used to come to Parliament to account in terms of the work that ICASA did. So I am very much honest, honorable member. Development of the sector, ICASA as a regulator need to be a leader of the broadcasting licensees, the telecom licensees, as well as postal services. A leader in the sense that it need to make sure that it explore whatever is the best practice happening elsewhere, and then bring it back home, and then share with these licensees, and work out a program which will develop the human resources capacity of these licensees. Because if you don't develop the personnel, the human capacity, then you will not succeed at all. So there's a need that there should be a capacity building program that is done, planned collectively by ICASA and this, its licenses, so that at the end of the day, we can all win us. And then when we win, all the consumers, which I'm passionate about, get better.
Okay, colleagues.
Thank you, Chairperson. You were last informally employed, I assume, in 2014, when you left ICASA. So you are currently unemployed. Why did you leave ICASA in 2014?
The general managers as executives of ICASA are working on fixed-term contracts. So I was on a fixed-term contract, and then so by the 30th of June 2014, it came to an end. And I had to make sure that I stepped down, even though they, in the letter which they wrote to me to say, you can still apply for the job. I stepped down because I wanted to focus more attention on doing my PhD. And so it needs a lot of work. And then so right now I've done substantial work that will not hinder me from doing any work, because if you are working, you need to focus your attention on work. And then it was not going to work very well if I am studying, more especially for a PhD, and I'm also working. So you'll find that at the end of the day, you are delivering your performance. It's not the way you want it to be.
Okay, so are you earning a pension right now? Do you have a pension from ICASA?
Well, I...
How do you pay the rent?
When I left, I got a pension that was accumulated, and then so it's the one that I've been using to make sure that we live, and otherwise my wife is working, and then so she was also augmenting to the finances of our...
While you were, I'm not sure where you were at this time, were you on SABC or what, when you served as member of the Advocacy Subcommittee for the Chapter 9s, where were you employed then?
When I was serving as the member of the Subcommittee for Chapter 9, it was when I was at the Commission for Gender Equality, because the Commission for the CGE is a Chapter 9 institution, so we used to, as heads of departments, Human Rights Commission, the Public Protector, the CGE, we used to meet, and then we had that committee which was the CGE.
So what are your views about SABC being a Chapter 9, I mean, SABC, ICASA being a Chapter 9 institution? Do you think it should be protected as such?
I think ICASA should be a Chapter 9 institution because when there was a convergence whereby ICASA was a converged regulator, it took over the mandate of the IBA, of which the IBA in terms of Section 192 of the Constitution is a Chapter 9 institution. So I think the mandate that it took over from the IBA will make it to be a Chapter 9 institution, because Chapter 9 institutions are independent. And then when we say ICASA is an independent regulator, where does it get its independence if it is not a Chapter 9? Because you can only be independent if you are a Chapter 9 institution, which is meant to support our constitutional democracy. So I guess ICASA is supporting constitutional democracy by regulating broadcasting services, postal services and telecom services in the public interest.
Should you become a councillor, you may be, and ICASA's independence is protected, you may be in a position where you will be in conflict with the government of the day and the minister perhaps on decisions such as a spectrum auction. Would you go for protecting ICASA's right to make independent decisions? Would you be persuaded by your vast network of ANC pals to choose to sway on the side of the governing party rather than on in the public interest?
Well, if I am a can be a councillor, I will advocate that there should be a memorandum of understanding between ICASA and the minister. I'm not sure if such MOU do exist because it will clarify the roles and responsibilities for the minister and also ICASA. Coming to the spectrum auction, spectrum is a scarce resource for that belongs to all South Africans. If you auction it, it is going to be purchased by the highest bidder, meaning that this new entrant in the market will not be able to come into the market and then provide communication service to the people. So hence I said earlier on that the spectrum belongs to South Africans. So it has been given to the state to safeguard, and the state has appointed ICASA to make sure that it makes regulations that safeguard that spectrum. So auctioning, it will be a loss for the South Africans because competition will not be there. There won't be any competition if it is auctioned.
Yeah, okay. Now, so I gather by your answer that you believe that the law governing the independence of Chapter 9, ICASA, and the ECA and the ICASA Act are not strong enough in their current form to protect ICASA's independence, because you now believe that there should be a memorandum of understanding between the minister and ICASA to protect its independence, or to agree some backroom deal. What would a memorandum of understanding to protect ICASA's independence entail?
Your minutes are over, but you can respond.
Okay, so the MOU will clarify the role of ICASA, because if there's no such MOU, whatever ICASA is doing, the minister may think that they are overstepping their mark. And then so there's a need for an agreement. It's just like when you are an executive, there will be a delegation of authority so that whatever you do, you know that I'm doing it within the confines of what has been allocated to me to do the job.
Does the Gender Equality have a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Women Affairs or whatever it's called?
Justice. So it's falling under Justice.
I
didn't have the MOU with the department. So there was no tension between the CGE and the Department of Justice. So so where there's tension, there's always a need for an alternative dispute resolution mechanism. So there should be an ADR.
Okay.
And an MOU for me is an ADR that will resolve the dispute that could make up.
Okay, your time is over. Honorable Galak, are you done? Okay. Mr. Gaz? Okay.
Sorry. I know you are trying to lead ICASA, but the way you are answering questions makes us very wary. Do you know what is the difference between a public broadcaster and a state broadcaster?
Yes.
What is the difference?
The public broadcaster the public broadcaster is a broadcasting services that is not controlled by the state. The broadcaster that is broadcasting in the public interest, and the state broadcaster is a broadcaster that gets its cue from the state. So it's the state that say you shall broadcast this and that.
Example.
State broadcaster. The example of the state broadcaster is when the state instructs, say the.
Was the SABC in the 80s a state broadcaster? Would you say that SABC you worked for was a state broadcaster or not?
Well, it was a state broadcaster by the time, so it was not a.
So it wasn't an SABC of the people, it was of the state? You said earlier on it was of the people.
No, it was an SABC that we used to as a vehicle to serve the people.
All right. The 1987-1989 producer and 1989 to 1995 senior producer. Was that a promotion?
Chair, yes, it was a promotion. So, in fact, when I started as a junior producer. And then over the years, I was promoted to a producer. And then thereafter, I was promoted to a senior producer. So, those are the steps that I went through when I was in broadcasting.
Thank you very much for the responses. You are now free. I'm told you are not going back today. You must enjoy Cape Town. It's a very windy and cold place. But thanks a lot, Mr. Mashangwane, for your responses. You will hear when the process are done. You follow the processes because it goes to Parliament and then councillors are appointed. So I'm sure you will be on the alert. I don't think we'll necessarily write to you and say this is where we are. But as a person who knows the sector, you'll keep on watching. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Chairperson, for affording me this opportunity for the interview. And I guess there will be